This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
Well, it's not Drew Tignanelli tonight. It's Tom Bonvasuto and Chris O'Shea. How you doing, Chris?
Tom, I'm doing fine, sir. It's great to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. We survived the Beltway, a little rainy, wet, and you know, I don't know, crazy people on New Year's Eve here.
Yeah, it's tough when it's dark and it's raining and it's lights coming, right? The days are getting longer.
Yeah, it's coming.
But it's not summer.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're at year end. We're tomorrow is, you know, I kind of enjoy that when I'm watching, if you're watching TV and they'll do those year end and recap for all sorts of things. So we're here in place of Drew, and that's what we thought we would do.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, it is right at the end of the year. People are starting to think about New Year's resolutions. They're thinking about, well, what happened in 2015? And we're going to review some of that. I've got some market data we can look at. We're going to talk about taxes. We're going to talk about whatever folks want to talk about as well. It's a pseudo open show. So what I mean by that is we're going to let people call in, talk to Anita. She'll feed us any feedback people have. They want to talk about a certain topic. We'll address that. But you and I have a list of things that we wanted to talk about today as well. So if people want to have a topic addressed, have a question answered, call in 410-922-6680. And that's the number is 410-922-6680. If there's a topic you want us to address or you hear us say something that you want us to get more information on or clarify, we'd be happy to try and fit that in over the course of the next hour. And it's really been an interesting 2015 in terms of the markets. And as I was driving over, I heard that there was a sharp decline in the market today. And for somebody that watches the market every day, you know, I didn't consider today a sharp decline, you know, but you know, because it's over 100 points in the Dow, you know, and people go, oh, it's a sharp decline. Well, you know, a sharp decline to me would have been 500 or 600 points, you know.
Sure. Well, I remember the market was down 190 points in, you know, October of 1990 when the market was at 2000.
Yeah.
So
yep.
190 points was a
It was a big deal back then.
It was
then.
A big deal that Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, today what we're talking about is, you know, 70, 60 basis points or 0.70%.
0.66% today the Dow was down. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it.
Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, so they have to, they're every day, so they have to make it sound new.
Right. So what does that mean for the year? If you look at the S&P 500 for the year, we started the year at 2058 or let's call it 2059. Where are we today? 2063. I mean, so people, you know, ups and downs throughout the year, we really haven't changed in terms of the price movement of the S&P 500 for the year. So it's been a somewhat volatile year. Now, there's other things within that that I think are somewhat interesting. And so what does that mean? On a price basis, the market has changed by 0.22. Now, if you're invested in the S&P 500, an index fund, say, you'd be up about 2.5%. Well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is dividends. And so the dividends of the S&P 500 have been running about 2.2% or so for the year. And so that, along with the little tiny bit of price change, gets you to about 2.5% for the year in the S&P 500. And that's what everybody hears on the radio. You're the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ. So that's really been a lot of what folks have been hearing. Yet, if you look more broadly, the broader markets are generally down for the year. Now, some of that has been some of the dollar and the foreign prices, you know, the foreign currency issues.
But the New York Stock, the NYSE composite is down 5%, 6% for the year. So
I know. And so why is that? So have you heard the terms FANG and NOSH? Have you heard those two terms yet, Chris?
No.
Okay. All right. So there's two terms out there. People have to sell newspapers or something. But so FANG, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google.
Okay.
All right. So if you take those guys out of the S&P, you got negative returns in the S&P because you got Facebook up 37%, Amazon up 124%, Netflix 144%, Google up 37%. So a couple of stocks did really well. Mm-hmm. We could make another list of the names that really didn't work. A lot of those would be in energy.
Sure.
You know, there's a couple of other
transportation.
Names out there that have struggled. And the Nosh side, that wasn't heard about as much, but that's Nike, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Starbucks, Home Depot. You know, so and those names are all up, you know, 35% to 50% as well for the year. So there are some individual names. There's always within a market some names that do really well and some that don't. But just the broad market, pretty flat for the year on the stock market.
Not attractive, right, for folks.
Yeah.
And even in that, it depends on how you're looking at it. So it's an artificial in a way, but people need a gauge. But, okay, why is it January 1 to December 31st? That's an artificial gauge, but, you need some point of reference. And so, but for some, they had stocks that were up. Somebody was talking to me about they had a portfolio that had Under Armour in it and said, well, the stock's been down. It's like, well, the stock's up for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, the stock's up 20% for the year. It's just down from when it was up 50% for the year.
Right.
So it depends on where you're looking at things.
Yeah. It's all a matter of perspective. And, you know, we'll talk about it more tonight, you know, some of the ideas I have relative to how people should invest as they look forward. But some other things to, you know, to look at in the bond market, you know, people always wonder about bonds. And we've heard that the Federal Reserve raised rates. That's the overnight money that, you know, banks lend to the rate that banks lend to each other. That's the federal funds rate. It went from 0.25% up to 0.5%. So, you know, big whoop-de-doo, some people would say. My home equity line just went up by 0.25%. And that kind of thing. But, you know, you look at the 10-year treasury, we started the year at 2.17, you know, today, or actually yesterday, I guess, or today it was 2.30 today. Mm-hmm. And throughout the year, you know, we were hit as high as 2.49 and we were as low as 1.65. So a lot of movement within the year.
Percentage-wise.
But point to point, we really didn't change.
No,
you know,
but you get a 40% move from, you know, 165 up to 230.
Exactly. And people are worried about some of the movement that the Federal Reserve is doing. But as quickly as we've talked about that, it's already time to take a break. So we're going to turn it over to traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, and we're back. This is Tom Bongasuto with Chris O'Shea, and we're excited to be here on New Year's Eve Eve. And
it's the weekend. Yeah. We're sitting in for Drew Tignanelli.
That's right.
Doing our best to do
that. Doing our best to handle his seat here in the studio. But if you have a question, you have a topic you want us to address, feel free to call in. Talk to Anita. She'll plug that through to us. We'll see if we can get to it during the show at 410-922-6680. Just a couple of more topics that I'd like to hit on in the markets. So, you know, we talked about, you know, the treasury yield, the 10-year treasury going, you know, from 217 to 230, highs and lows of 249 to 165. You know, so we talked about the S&P really not changing on a price basis for the year, but intra-year, within the year, you know, we went from 1867 to 2134, I should say, actually the opposite way. We went from 2134 to 1867 because May 20th we hit the 2134, and on the August 25th we closed at 1867. So that's a 14% move. You know, if you're measuring that. So a lot of volatility within the market, but, you know, point A to point B, really not a lot of change in the market. And the other thing I looked at was balanced funds. I looked at target date funds, a whole host of things. And even there, a lot of disparity, even amongst very good, well-known managers out there. You know, we've got balanced funds that were down probably on average over 1%. Yet some are up and some were down, you know, close to 5% or more, depending on what they held. So a lot of movements in the market. And so that brings me to the point of, you know, market timing. And it's very difficult to do market timing and to say, you know, the bell didn't ring on August 25th to say, okay, this is the bottom for the year, buy in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the challenge is holding your hand, holding the client's hands through those ups and down times. And that, you know, people call up and they say, well, you know, I should buy that Netflix. It's up 144%. I said, yeah, it already went up 144%. It's not yielding 144% like a CD.
The news is out.
Yeah, the news is already out.
Right.
So, you know, people have to think about why they're buying stuff and what their long-term strategies are. So it's really a time to reevaluate as people are looking at their portfolios or looking at their 401ks, all the statements that are going to start coming in the next couple of weeks. You know, really thinking about why are you invested in what you're invested in and what's your strategy for the long term. And really, in staying with that consistently over time is really, I think, where you're going to reap the rewards.
Sure. So I'm just looking at what they call the quilt. So what asset classes
right.
performed the best over the last 15 years? And as you look at that, you see, well, commodities in 11, 12, 13, and, well, 12, 13, and 14 were the underperformer. So who knew that commodities were, again, going to underperform?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, what was the trend going to be? Or, on the other hand, you had REITs, real estate investment trusts, performed the best from in 2010, 11, 12, and 14. I think we're not going to find that REITs did the best again in 2015.
Yeah, not likely.
Right. So that's why, again, you've got to, you know, what's your approach? In fact, for this year, you would say for, and what we think might be in the next few years, you know, you have everybody's gone to index funds.
Right.
And for the garden variety type of folk that don't want a lot of they don't want to make change
right.
what they're doing. They want to just stay with low cost and index, and that's fine. But after a certain point in time, you know, if everybody's doing it,
right.
that's going to underperform. And so this is a perfect year. You're talking about the FANG and NOSH, where you've got
right.
these stocks are doing well. So active managers, you know, have an advantage
yep.
in years such as this when index funds are underperforming. And you were pointing out that some of these balanced funds that are supposed to be following an index are have disparate returns.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what's the index that they're following? People
sure.
get confused with all the numbers that are thrown at them. And your point is an active manager can make moves to hold cash, which an index fund is not going to hold cash,
yep.
or they could move out of an asset class, as you point out, energy. If they say, you know, I just don't want to own energy this year because of all these issues, they can get out of it. The index fund's stuck with what they have.
Right.
And vice versa, when they want to get back into energy, the index fund has what it has. It can't add to it. Can't put more into it. So indexing has its place, and it's been great. We've talked about, you know, the fact that index funds, there's been a lot of competition, and that competition has been great for the consumer and the investor because it's pushed down the cost of indexing, you know, and that's been a good thing.
Sure.
And it has a place in portfolios. I believe
sure
that,
does.
You know, indexing
yep.
can be a good place in portfolios, but I think active management, and even more so than that, it's just the having an advisor to help you, because we tend to get emotional with our own money, right? You know, when it's our
sure.
own money, we get emotional. An advisor can help guide us through and help us make sure we're on the right path, set out that plan. And so that's one of the things that we really work hard to do with clients is help them through that time. And so interesting market data, I thought, you know, going into the end of the year.
Exactly right. Yeah, it is. It's just taking stock.
Yep, exactly.
Of where things are.
That's
so
right.
If you do want to call in, 410-922-6680, we are going to have some financial planning topics
yep.
that we'll cover for the rest of the show. There's just some things that we're thinking about, some things that we've been talking about internally, and some other things that are here. So, but if you want to call up and ask us to comment on planning topic, we are going to have Mr. Social Security on again pretty soon, the rock star of Social Security, as Drew says. There's
yeah.
a lot been going on in that realm,
yep.
But we'll be mixing it up. So if you want to bring forth a topic, by all means, give us a call.
Yep, yeah. And so, you know, you talk about some topics. I think we should talk about some things like HSAs and 401ks and Roths. 529 plans. It's a little late unless you're going to run downtown tomorrow to open up your 529. But, you know, I made a contribution last night to the 529. I have an electronic thing set up, and boom,
right.
it was out of my account today. That was done 2015. 529 contribution occurred. You still have time. You got 24 or whatever, you know, 29
market's
hours.
Market's open all day tomorrow.
Yeah, market's open all day tomorrow. Exactly.
The stock market. I think bonds are too, I
yeah.
imagine.
Yeah, yeah, full day because yep. it's the end of the year.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we would be remiss in Drew's absence if we did not mention Roth IRAs.
Yep.
Met with folks again yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
These are folks, you know, they're 40 years old. They've got a fair amount of cash. Literally, that's just
mm-hmm.
sitting in bank savings and what have you.
Right.
$185,000. They do have retirement accounts and the rest, but they have nothing in Roth IRAs.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
So for the years that you know, for now, we know by April 15th we can get them to do 2015 and 2016, $5,500 a piece. So all of a sudden they can move $22,000 over into their Roths.
Right.
Knowing, though, still that they can pull out the contribution
yep.
if they need it.
Yep.
But now, again, they're moving things over to fill up those tax buckets. And Drew has said that, you know, for some, we've seen that these folks couldn't necessarily have done that. But for all the years, for 17 years that people could have done Roth IRAs, why aren't people doing those? Because this is a tax-free bucket if you follow the rules.
Yep.
Because everything growth that happens in there is tax-free. It's not tax-deferred. Your growth is tax-deferred. But in the end, ultimately, it's tax-free.
Right.
How often does that happen?
Yeah, the Roth is one of my top three accounts to open out there, and it's a great vehicle, and a lot of people don't take advantage of it that could and should be. And, you know, the fact, like you said, the contributions can be taken out without the penalties and without the taxes, you know, it's kind of a safety net that's there. But, you know, you can't put it back in once you take if you do take it out, but you can't get it in later. Say, oh, I want to make up for all those years I didn't contribute. So get it in there and get the benefit of the tax-free growth and the tax-free, you know, the money coming out tax-free in the future. So a Roth is a great vehicle.
We don't see the amount of HSAs, health savings accounts, that we think we should see.
Right.
Because with health care costs going up every single year, did you know that your medical costs didn't go down over the last few years?
Yeah.
But with high deductible plans, which that's the way to keep the, really one of the only tools of keeping your cost, your premiums and your insurance lower, is that we're faced with every year, is to raise your deductibles. The more you raise your deductibles, especially if you're healthy. Now, if you're not, if you have some kind of chronic condition that you have expenses on, then, you know, not necessarily. But if you're not going to use, what's the difference if you're not hitting your deductible at $3,000 to move it to $5,000?
Right.
And now you're using an HSA, and the great thing about an HSA is you can accumulate what you don't use.
Right. Right.
So you put money in there, and it's tax deductible,
right?
Federal, state, and Social Security. Most people don't know the Social Security part, so you're getting it's a tax deduction, and then it grows. The money that you don't use grows, and then as long as you use it for medical reasons,
comes out
you
free.
Take it out tax free.
Yeah, that's why I say the Roth's in my top three, and that's because the HSA is in that number one spot. But it's already time for another break, so we're going to take that break, and we'll come back on the other side and have more financial planning topics.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we are back. This is Chris O'Shea along with Tom Bonvasuto. We're sitting in for Drew Tignanelli.
Yes, we
and
are.
And this is the weekly show. And we're privileged to be here and trying to fill the energy that comes out of Drew.
That's right.
You know, he comes alive.
Yes, he does.
Comes alive in front of folks, in front of the radio studio and what have you. And so we're here for the next 25 minutes. If you're in your car and it's raining and you're in traffic, we're sorry for that, but hopefully we can liven things up a little bit. Maybe Tom can start telling some jokes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about our Pittsburgh heritage or our New York heritage.
That's right.
But we could always fall back on that. We're talking about health savings accounts.
Yeah.
And to continue the conversation, as medical expenses are just going higher and higher, to move towards higher deductible plans that have an HSA attached to it. And if you don't have one that in your company, you can still set up an HSA account. You can go to a bank. You can set, you know, a lot of folks will set these accounts up for you.
Yep.
You can put the money into the account. And so what happens then is as you're meeting your deductible, as you're having these out-of-pocket expenses, then you can draw from the HSA and being reimbursed for the expenses that you have. Or a lot of these things, if you have they'll even give you a debit card.
Right.
So as you go into the medical provider, that's how you're paying for it. And especially if you're doing it through payroll deduction, it's filling up throughout the year. And then if it's just accumulating year after year, the balance is growing, so now the money is there for you to just spend on qualified medical expenses.
Yep. Yeah.
So over time, so you get a tax deduction along the way. And so the things that, you know, as you pay it, you're coming out, you're paying it, it's tax-free.
Yeah, it's got to be, I think, one of my, if not the favorite, top item to do is, you know, it's free on the way in and free on the way out. No taxes on either side. And, you know, we had a caller that called in that says, is the HSA good for women in their childbearing years? And I actually had a conversation with somebody at the office about this. Is, you know, one of the things that I've thought about is, you know, well, you have some companies have more than one option. You know, some companies only have one option available for health care, but some that have more than one option, some have lower deductible plans, some have higher deductible plans, or some have low, high deductible plans, you know, depending on how their structures
sure.
are. So, you know, if I knew that I was going to get my knees replaced or have heart surgery or whatever in the next year, I might bring down to a lower deductible plan, pay the higher premium because I'm going to need that, you know, coverage. It would be helpful to have.
Sure.
So if I knew I was having a kid, I wouldn't physically be doing that, but if my wife was having a baby and we were planning for that, then, you know, given the cost of having a kid, which, you know, runs at least $10,000 or so, and you know, if that's running smoothly and couldn't be more, then I'd probably get my, if I could, you know, before that new year started, that new plan year, I'd drop down to a lower deductible plan. But definitely the HSA would be a great way to pay for any copays, deductibles, medicines, anything like that, because, you know, the money comes out tax-free, and then, you know from your payroll or however you're putting it into that, as we talked about, and then it's going to come out tax-free. So you're going to be paying the bill anyway. Why not pay for it with tax-free dollars?
And it's not one of those use-it-or-lose-it plans.
That's the beauty. That's a change. When the HSA came out, that was a change from the prior plans, we call the FSA or the flexible spending accounts. You know, those were the use-it-or-lose-its, and now with this, it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's carried over year to year. And we're all going to have medical expenses at one time or another, and it's a great account to fund. And you pointed out earlier, Chris, is even later on, when you're over 65, if you wanted to take it out for something else, you could just pay the tax on it.
Sure, that's right, but there's no penalty to do that. So, I mean, there are other things. You mentioned 529 plans. There are just the strength in that,
yeah.
And you can pre-fund those. You know, there isn't just a limit per year that you can do that. You know, one of the things that... you have another topic you want to hit? I was moving into the public service loan forgiveness.
Yeah, that's
program.
A great thing that you were working with a client on.
Well, it's as we have that more and more to see that there's just some things that don't get a lot of airplay. And so for people who have gone into debt, they found themselves that they want to get a specialized degree. A particular person that we knew wanted to get a specialized degree and use that and was going to do that in the nonprofit arena.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, they can get into this the public service loan forgiveness program that if you make a payments for 10 years on it,
mm-hmm.
it's an you can get into the income-based repayment plan. So, I mean, essentially, this person, over time, can save. So the debt was about $150,000.
Right.
And based on the income of what they had, which was above, I would say 50% above the average, the median income.
Right.
That, so it's not a low income. So the income was $70,000. So they're going to be making a significant payment. But over the life of the loan, what they would have done, they're going to save $200,000 of interest,
right?
That you and I will pay,
yeah,
because
somebody's
the government,
paying it, yeah.
Yeah, the government is giving this back to them, but
mm-hmm.
for what is out there, again, we're a proponent of taking advantage of the laws as they are,
right?
And
sure.
So this is just an opportunity where you can. Over those 10 years, but there's some strict rules. You have to stay mm-hmm. in there. You know, your payments have to be, if you get out, if you're in this thing for 6 or 7 or 8 years,
right.
And you decide that, oh, I'm going to go a different direction, I'm going to work for a private sector, well, guess what? You get this, you know.
You're out of the program.
That loan has accumulated this interest, and the balance has grown, so you're out of that program now. You're paying the full ride.
Right.
So, but for those that know specifically that can fit within the parameters of that. It's just something for people to know about.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, and you know, we talked about the 529s to save for college, but you know, the cost of college is so expensive, especially these private institutions. And if somebody comes, you know, they go in, they get $200,000, $250,000 of debt, and they come out and they make $50,000 a year, it's going to be a little bit difficult for them to pay those loans back. And if they're going to be serving through a nonprofit, as you said, in the public service areas that qualify under this program, then, you know, then, yeah, we're going to foot the bill. It's just like the guys that go to the Naval Academy, you know, congratulations to those guys the other day. But, you know, we're paying essentially for them. Now they're going and they're serving. So, you know.
Boy, are they serving.
And they're serving. So we paid for their education. I'm not going to complain about that.
No.
So we want people to take advantage of the programs that are out there to help them through this, because it's challenging. I mean, the cost of college from when you and I went is gone through the roof, and incomes have not kept up. And so we've got to find other ways to do it. And whether it's, you know, the community college routes, the state college, I mean, Towson, University of Maryland, these are great options for people here in the state.
Sure.
And back to the 529 plans, you know, there's very little reason I can't find a reason for anybody living in the state of Maryland to use a plan other than the state of Maryland, you know, the college savings plans of Maryland.
It's thought
it was
the best plan in the country.
It's rated one of the top, you know, there are four plans rated gold in the country. It is rated gold. That's number one. Number two, you know, the tax deduction benefits that you get out of using that plan. So really point people to that. It's administered, you know, T. Rowe Price is involved with that, but it's the College Savings Plans of Maryland, and it's a great way to go for the 529. But that's a great thing that you've uncovered and worked with clients on to help with this public service loan forgiveness program. And anybody that's got kids that are getting ready close to graduating or thinking about going to school, this might help you think about how to work through all the costs of college.
Sure. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I think we're on to, believe it or not,
a break.
The last and final break. So we're going to come up on that, and we'll finish up on the other side.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we are back. This is Chris O'Shea with Tom Bombasuto of Financial Consultant. We're sitting in for Drew Tignanelli. We normally partner, one of us do, with him each and every week. And so, Tom, the time has flown. We have less than 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple things that we wanted to bring forward to folks. We've talked about some of these during the year. I'm going to run down a couple things here. The 2015 Dirty Dozen tax scams released by the IRS.
Uh-oh.
And so I think a lot of people are familiar with some of them, phone scams. So people, the IRS calling up saying, you owe this, you need to send this. IRS will never call you. They always send things in the mail. You get a call from anybody who says you're the IRS. I got one this year.
Mm.
Try to call back, and it was a number that was unreachable. Identity theft. We had a number of clients that had fraudulent tax returns, which is the cousin of that. So you got identity theft where they're just stealing your ID, but they're actually filing fraudulent returns. You're also getting phishing, so you're getting emails that are fraudulent, so they look pretty good. You know, one thing we've been noticing, though, we've seen them every week, we get them at the office. Somebody forwards one to us, was that the grammar's bad.
Oh,
so
yeah.
One of the things you just see, someone says, don't they have spell check?
Yeah.
But again, sometimes you can just pull past things and not realize that they're that these things are there. Fake charities are something that hits people. They said, so number four, return preparer fraud.
Right.
So these are preparers who are perpetrating fraud on the taxpayer. The taxpayer. Inflated refund claims. Number seven, fake charities. Eight, filing false documents to hide income. Nine, participating in abusive tax shelters. 10, falsifying income to claim tax credits. 11, excessive claims for fuel tax credits. 12, frivolous tax arguments. So there they are.
Yeah. Well, you know, and as you were going through that list, you know, things tend to fall into two categories as I see it: fear and greed.
back to your bailiwick. Investments.
Yeah. I mean, and all the things you talked about there is that, you know, the folks, if anybody comes after you and they're trying to incite fear in you, mm-hmm. then be concerned that that's not real person. The IRS, while that envelope may get you a little scared or whatever, they're not going to call you. They're not going to threaten you. They're not going to, you know, call you and say, you need to pay this right away. Otherwise, you know, we're going to come and pick you up and throw you into jail. So that just hang up the phone and just walk away. So be careful of people that try and get you to be feared.
Sure.
And the other side, it's greed. You know, the people that are telling you, oh, you know, you won this, or if you click this button, if you fill out this form, or you want to get, you know, we'll give you a big tax refund if you give me some money up front. All those greed kinds of things, you know, you got to be careful of that as well. And that's what people prey on. They prey on the elderly. I know we're not too far from Charlestown out here. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know that they get phone calls and all sorts of scary things. But be aware of that and call an advisor. Stop, you know, take a breath. You know, they're not coming after you. They're not going to be knocking at your door, taking you away in handcuffs.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about looking at some of the obviously Congress got together and actually did something, a lot of controversy. We just look at the financial things, though, that happened.
We found some positives in there.
Right. There were some tax things that happened, and so some things. So they waited the whole year, so you had to wait for
you couldn't do
11 and a half months. Yeah. So if you're one of the things that are at the top of the list, it was made permanent, was a qualified charitable deduction. So if you have an IRA account and you're over 70 and a half and you have to take required minimum distributions mm-hmm. on that, it helps if you're going to give money away anyway, just send it directly. You're going to give that to a charity.
Right.
And so it doesn't come out on your income. And because of that, it helps with a lot of things. You know,
right.
It helps with Social Security.
Taxation of Social Security.
Mm-hmm. You reduce that level. It helps with your Medicare premiums, depending on what your income is. But in this case, you got to be over 70 and a half. And there's some particular things that has to happen, but you're going to give it directly to, and so it doesn't show up on your tax return.
Right. And it's great from a planning perspective, isn't it? And we now have the ability to work with clients throughout the year.
It's permanent.
Knowing that
right.
it's a permanent structure out there, permanent planning. And, you know, to see how excited Drew got when this got announced, you know, now it's available, it's planning, we can work it in. You know, the fact that it's on the front, first page of the tax return rather than later on in the Schedule A when you're giving away. And this is for folks that are charitably inclined. We're not telling
right.
everybody that's getting a required minimum distribution to give it away.
Sure.
But if you're going to give money away anyway, it's a great way to do it in a very tax-efficient, beneficial way.
Sure. Right. Another thing that was made permanent is the American Opportunity Credit, which people felt that you're going to extend it. So some of these things were extended 2 years, some were extended 5 years, some were permanent. The permanent, the American Opportunity Tax Credit. So for those who have kids in college, mm-hmm. it's just and there are ways to use that even if you're a high-income person. Maybe you just have your child do it. They don't
right.
get the full thing, but they still get a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another permanent qualified tuition deduction. It's only extended 2 years. So they changed some of these things. And that's these things are income tested also. But those are just some of the highlights. There's a lot of things in there. But those are the things that we just wanted to point out.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that a couple of those things were put through, it's progress, and we're thankful for those things that are there. And you know, folks should be working with their advisors to do some of this planning. And like I said, it is that time of year, you know, when you should be going in. You know, if you get a raise as we roll into January, then increase your 401k contribution. You know, so, you know, get a little bit more going into that
sure.
401k before you get used to spending that money. And get that up to the maximum levels over time. I can realize everybody can't go from zero to $18,000, or 24 for those of us over 50, but they should start doing that.
Sure. By all means. Some things that you find out, I did an annual tax conference to get updated, and you see what the people who have their fingers really on the pulse of
mm-hmm.
what's happening from the IRS perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS, you know, in some ways, they operate smartly in that they're auditing things that they're going after, the things that are slam dunks for them. So
yep.
the ones they're going for that they know when they go in, spend time on it, they're going to reap a harvest and get money back from people who aren't taking care of record keeping.
Mm-hmm.
So one is this for charity, people who are charitably inclined.
Yep.
If you're giving money, you have to have those
right.
Receipts. And if you're giving away money and it doesn't include statements that say, especially if you're given to faith-based organizations, you know, there's no benefit other than intangible religious benefit.
Right.
If that isn't on there, chances are they're going to disallow, there's a court case, $35,000 that they disallow because even though they had a receipt, they didn't have it with the words underneath that said whether they got anything in response for that.
Right, and make sure that they get it before they file their return and dated before they file their return.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, in that particular case, I believe as well, that they did get a receipt ultimately with the right language on it, but when they got it, it had, you know, it was done after the return was done, and therefore it didn't qualify.
Not a lot of people are looking into self-trust IRAs and doing interesting investments in there, and especially if they have something to do with buying a business and those sorts of things.
Yep.
Prohibited transactions, they can blow up your entire IRA. In other words, get that case where if someone did it to buy a business, the whole $325,000 of his IRA was considered distributed to him because he took an income out of it of like $7,000.
Right.
And so all of a sudden now, in 1 year, your IRA, so your income is whatever it was increased by $300,000, your IRA, and then it was all taxable, plus penalties, plus everything else. So be careful of people advertising self-trust IRAs and things you can do within them. Basically, this the fellow we were listening to says, you can almost never do it.
Yep. Yeah.
And be safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the IRS is going after these things.
Yeah, and so the, you know, the government made some positive changes for taxes. It's still fairly complex. And so, you know, people should work with a professional. And so, believe it or not, we're coming to the end of our show for 2015.
We are.
And, you know, Chris, it's really been a blessing this year to work with you and be able to have the opportunity to be here with Drew. We're pray that he's having a great time where he is, and that he would be blessed because he's been a blessing to all of us. And as people go out and celebrate New Year's and think about what's important, you know, we constantly focus that the most important things are the relationships. And so you know, we pray that people will focus on that in 2016.
Well said. Well said. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year. Thank you.